Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, May 16th. Today, Colorado has reported its first cases of severe hepatitis in kids, but doctors don't know the cause. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pinnacle Assurance. Pinnacle Assurance provides workers' comp insurance and was recently named one of the most community-minded companies in Colorado for the third year in a row. Last year, Pinnacle donated $1.5 million in grants, donations, and scholarships to communities across the state. Learn more about how Pinnacle puts care to work at pinnacle.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this date in 1989, Denver voters approved a $2.3 billion proposal to erect a massive new airport for the city. The proposed Denver International Airport, DIA, promised to be the world's largest, twice the size of Manhattan, and seven times larger than the facility it would replace. Opened in 1929, Denver's existing airport sat on the east side of the city and eventually took the name Stapleton International in honor of longtime mayor Benjamin Stapleton. But by the 1980s, the city had grown up around Stapleton, and neighbors complained about the noise and traffic. Though Denver's airport ranked as the nation's fifth busiest, aviation bottlenecks caused by its limited space affected passengers and freight across the country. A vast new facility promised to increase Colorado's commercial and tourism potential. Mayor Federico Peña lobbied for the project, and it received bipartisan support at the state and local levels. Voters in Adams County ceded 45 square miles to Denver for the site in 1988, and the election in May 1989 sealed the deal. Construction on DIA continued until 1995, 2 years after its scheduled opening date. The new airport, best known for its tent-like main terminal evoking American Indian Plains dwellings and the snow-capped Rocky Mountains, operates as a functional work of art. Most of the Stapleton site was redeveloped into a bustling neighborhood, but a few buildings, including the control tower, survive as community icons. Now, a quick message from our sponsors, the Colorado Education Association. The Colorado Education Association is made up of more than 39,000 educators across Colorado, all working together in a strong union to make sure students get the exceptional public schools they deserve. Learn more about CEA by visiting coloradoea.org. Next, our feature story. Colorado has reported its first cases of severe hepatitis in kids, but doctors don't know the cause of the disease. Olivia Prenzel talks with John Ingold about what doctors know at this point and what still remains in mystery.
John, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
The CDC has reported five potential cases of severe hepatitis in children in Colorado amid a spike in cases across the country. But there seems to be a lot of mystery around the disease. Doctors don't know the exact cause, but what do they know at this point?
Yeah, so what makes these cases unique is that they are of unknown cause. So a lot of times, there's a lot of things that can cause hepatitis in kids. And when you think of hepatitis, you often think of like Hep A, Hep B, Hep C, the very common viruses that cause hepatitis. What we have here is hepatitis in kids who were previously healthy, and there's not an obvious explanation for what caused it.
Can you talk about some of the symptoms?
Yeah, so pretty much all the cases, the main symptom that you would notice is jaundice, which is the yellowing or kind of the oranging of the skin or of the eyes. Some kids have had previous illnesses where they had fevers for a while and had diarrhea, but that's not the case in everything. And we're sort of early in trying to identify what's happening here. So one potential explanation is that all these cases that are getting rounded up, there may be some sort of trend in some of them, but the case definition right now for these to be reported to the CDC is really, really, it's widespread. So it's, you know, hepatitis in kids under the age of 10, and you don't know what caused it. So we could be getting scooped up with a lot of various causes for the hepatitis, but it's enough to want to look more deeply at what may be going on. And one of the prime culprits under suspicion is something called an adenovirus, which is a very common cold virus, and specifically an adenovirus called adenovirus 41, which is a little bit unique for adenoviruses in that it attacks the digestive system as opposed to the respiratory system. So that had been seen, I think only one kid in Colorado had actually tested positive for the adenovirus, but when looking at nationally or in cases in the UK where they've been tracking this really closely as well, that had been seen much more often. So that's kind of one of the suspects right now.
And the big question that I'm sure is on every parent's mind who's listening right now is there a reason to worry?
Yeah, I think it's something to be aware of and to keep a watch out for. We should note that there have been some deaths and some kids nationwide who require liver transplants. There haven't been any deaths in Colorado and no kids who have required transplants. And of the five kids who were sick, four were hospitalized. Some of those who were hospitalized were only hospitalized because the doctors kind of wanted to stay on top of things. They didn't want to, the kid wasn't especially sick at the time, but they didn't want it to progress. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of different case presentation, if you will. And right now, relatively speaking, it is still fairly rare. Hepatitis does occur in kids. Sometimes you don't always know what causes it. It is rare. Doctors here, both in Colorado and nationally, are trying to figure out if what we're seeing is an actual increase over the baseline for a number of hepatitis cases. So are we actually seeing something that's causing an increase in cases, or are we just having to notice normal number of cases, but they have this unique feature that we're trying to understand? But regardless, right now, it's fairly rare. So it's not necessarily something where you need to run your child to the emergency room if they have diarrhea one time, but something worth watching if they become jaundiced, if they have a fever, if they have diarrhea for a long time, basically those kind of common sense things, do what you would do and go see the doctor.
Sounds like something we should definitely keep an eye on. Thank you again, John, for joining us.
Thanks for listening. For more on this story, visit us at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Highway officials have given up on expanding lanes to unclog I-25 through central Denver. The Colorado Department of Transportation says there is no money for new lanes along the crowded stretch. Instead, highway officials will focus on moving rail lines from next to the highway at Alameda Avenue to 6th Avenue and redevelop areas at Burnham Yard. U.S. ski resorts are reporting a record number of visitors this year, despite it being an unremarkable year for snow. Ski areas reported 61 million visits in the 2021 to 2022 season. After a decade of largely flat visitation, the rebound to an all-time high bodes well for the industry that continues to grow in demand. The National Ski Areas Association said strong season pass sales and the continued desire for outdoor recreation were two of the contributing factors to the season's record-breaking numbers. A Colorado judge on Friday denied motions to dismiss a defamation lawsuit filed by Eric Coomer, an election systems worker, against former President Donald Trump's campaign, two of its lawyers, and a handful of conservative media figures. Coomer, who was security director at the Colorado-based Dominion Voting Systems, said he faced death threats after he was baselessly accused of trying to rig the 2020 presidential election in favor of President Joe Biden. Workers at Mind Springs Health, a community mental health center in Grand Junction, said they falsified patient records on government-required forms. The whistleblowers said they made up the assessments of patients' conditions for at least 9 years in an effort to make its treatment programs seem more effective and secure funding from the state. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.